Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brennan S. Scott with you. Uncle Milt from Brent Ridge Ford will tell you, advertising on Oilers Now works. Brent Ridge Ford has delivered their last new 2022 truck on Thursday of last week, and they are still in need of quality used vehicles. They're prepared to pay top dollar for trade-ins on or outright purchases. Remember, there is a reason Brent Ridge is a 12-time Presence Award winner for customer satisfaction. If you want to be treated fairly with every aspect of your vehicle purchase and ownership, reach out to the gang at Brent Ridge Ford, 780-352-6048. And we'll tell you that guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. Book your celebration for the census at jvedmonton.ca. Tell Don and the staff that Oilers Now sent you. As we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, and we welcome back to the show from the cult of hockey and the provincial affairs columnist for the Edmonton Journal, David Staples. Hello, David. How are you?
Great, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. We retweeted out a piece written today by Colby Kosh yesterday from the National Post, basically, which illustrated that it's an across-the-board dissatisfaction with the current plight of the federal Liberals. I thought it was a really well-written, because you couldn't really tell as he broke, you know, was he a UCP guy, an NDP guy? Anyways, look, this is part of your mail, you and what you do. What did you think about the election overall?
Well, I think the pollsters got it right. They were predicting that the UCP was going to win, and by almost exactly that margin of victory. So that was interesting. I thought Smith won because since she's been premier, she's stopped kind of the more extreme stuff or limited it and kind of and has been trying to move to the middle. And I think that's what Canadians and Albertans actually crave, is modest, humble, reasonable government that's not full of crazy American culture wars. I think we're all getting sick of that. And Smith would be wise to avoid it. And frankly, Bob, so would the NDP if you know, they can get back away from all of this crazy stuff coming out of the states that they're obsessed with down there and just focus on building Alberta and helping Albertans. That's a government we need.
Are you concerned about the fact that there's no direct representation in the city of Edmonton for the current provincial party that is in power?
We've been here before in the early 90s when Klein first won. Edmonton was shut out. And it was a different time in that there was a huge, much bigger Edmonton-Calgary rivalry then. And there was a sense that if Calgary got something, we were missing out on something. I think there's more of a feeling now in Alberta that we're all in this together and the big cities have similar kinds of problems. So I think Smith also has to do better in Calgary. They almost lost Calgary. And if she governs well in Calgary and brings in policies that are going to help Calgary's downtown, for instance, help with drug addiction and crime downtown, help with the office space problems in their downtowns. If she does that in Calgary and has the same policies in Edmonton, I think kind of the overall policy program, if she gets it right for the cities, will benefit both cities. But yeah, it would obviously be better if there was, you know, a 35% of Edmontonians voted for the UCP. And those 35% of people aren't represented with a local MLA in the government. So it would be better off for Edmonton if that was the case, but that's not how our system works.
Yeah. You know who's always valued rural Alberta? The Edmonton Oilers organization, because I know what percentage of our fan base comes from outside the city. And you know what? People are allowed to have different views on what they place in value. And I would suggest, what people do forget, that the NDP did get votes in rural Alberta, did get MLAs in rural Alberta back in the 2015 election. So there seemed to be a little bit bemoaning and a little bit of dismissiveness of some of the people in rural Alberta. I found that to be a little bit disappointing, David.
Well, I'm from rural Alberta, and I really find it offensive, honestly. When I hear, you know, big city people, often university professors, if I'm honest, you know, berating rural Albertans for being sheep and not thinking for themselves, I just think that's ridiculous and dismissive and out of touch with rural Albertans. And as far as the Oilers in rural Alberta goes, it's amazing how far people will drive.
The passion they have for the team is off the charts. They do.
We drove in, my dad and I, we drove in from Devon, like it's an hour drive, like again and again and again, night after night, year after year, to go to Oilers games, and it was fantastic.
when I tell guys in other markets that, you know, we have, like, it's minus 25 in January, and we have people driving 3 or 4 hours coming to the games because that's how much they love the team. And these people care. And so, all right, speaking of caring, we had an animated conversation with Mark Spector because Vegas has gone on to the Stanley Cup Final. And we said, all right, so what, give me three reasons why the Edmonton Oilers lost the playoff series. As Spec did not have goaltending at the top of his list, I think. So I'm going to give the floor to you here. Three reasons why Edmonton lost the series.
First of all, because the Oilers had bad puck luck shooting the puck. It was just, okay. That's number one, is bad bounces. Number two, bad slot defense, bad defensive structure in their own zone. Something they've got to figure out. And you know, they often will end up with two defensemen in the corner or defensemen out of the blue line. Instead of playing more of a zone and having always a big, tough defenseman in front of the net, I've been thinking about that, and I just think that's something they've got to address. And the third would be, I don't think Vegas had great goaltending, but they had slightly better goaltending. And, you know, it was probably maybe two goals in the series. Like, two goals kind of won the series, so that was the difference. So, yeah, I would have goaltending third on the list.
All right. The doppelganger says goaltending, injuries, and team defense. And, again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. You know what happened as soon as we started? This text says weak right defenders, a rookie, a second-year guy, and an injured top guy. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063 on that front. So here's the thing. I think it's incumbent upon the Oilers organization to grind like they've never grinded before because they have no choice. This team is pretty good. This team has a chance to win, and they have no cap space, which means you're going to have to get creative. And they got a little bit creative today by picking up Jaden Grubb. I like this pickup. The Rangers, and people say, well, if he's so good, why didn't the Rangers? We don't know why a guy decides not to sign with one organization, sign with another. I mean, Steve Staios had the Hamilton Bulldogs, and Logan Morrison, who ended up with the Ottawa 67s, who crashed out of the OHL playoffs, Logan Morrison signed with Seattle instead of Edmonton. And Staios had the history with them, and there was an opportunity for a skilled right shot center. Well, the Oilers have signed a different type of player than Logan Morrison, are going to sign Jaden Grubb. They're working on the deets as we speak. Give me your assessment on giving up a fifth-round pick for a guy that Edmonton should have lots of viewings on, David.
I like the move. In you're getting a slightly older player. I think the first-round pick's 20, so it's a 2023 pick. So the fifth-round pick. So you're getting an older player, slightly older than the player you would have drafted. So, and the owner's window is when McDavid and Draisaitl are in their prime. It's if these guys re-sign new contracts, and I don't see any reason why McDavid and Draisaitl won't sign new contracts in Edmonton. Grubb will be 23, 24, and he could be the one thing the Oilers really need in terms of slot defense. Like, if you're going to play this man-to-man system, you're counting on your centers then to cover in the defensive slot a lot. And you need them to be super defensively responsible. And that's what Grubb's reputation is. He was, you see this again and again in his draft reports. This is a guy who is a conscientious player, who's a big guy who can defend in his own slot and along the boards. So in that way, you know, he'll play, you know, a couple years at least in Bakersfield, but he's a possibility down the road in 3 or 4 years as someone who could slot in your fourth line center or third line center. And they have another guy this year already in Bakersfield, Philp, who came on super strong at the end of the year, and he's another possibility. So the Oilers are just accumulating these kind of useful role players, and Grubb could be ready in a couple of years. That could be a big thing for Edmonton. They need a cheap player.
You wrote about Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci this week, and I think there needs to be some role clarity and definition. I know Darnell's a pretty good all-around defenseman, but he had 40-plus points. He was over plus 20 this season, but he and Ceci struggled a bit in the playoffs. What do you think the focus should be on those two guys?
Well, when we see Darnell Nurse looking bad, it's often in the same circumstance, and it comes down to him trying to do too much. He's all over the place. When he's roaming all over the place, that's when the goals again is scored, when Darnell Nurse is on the ice. When he's just covering, when he covers his corner, when he keeps it simple, when he takes guys out in the corner, when he covers the front of the net, and when he moves the puck fast, he can make a great stretch pass, Darnell Nurse. When he can skate real quick in his own zone and make a good pass, when he keeps it simple, he is an outstanding hockey player. He could be Bob, one of the best three or four shutdown D-men in the NHL, right up there with his size, his skating ability. I just think there just needs to be a real clear definition. Darnell, we do not need you to score even 40 points in the regular season. We don't even need you to score 30. 20, that'd be good. Just don't worry about that. Do not worry about points. Your entire job is to defend the front of the net. And the player I was comparing him to in my post is Chris Russell, and Adam Larson, who in all their time in Edmonton were just outstanding slot defenders. They just limited the number of grade A shots from in front of the net because they kept it simple and they protected that turf. And that's if Nurse has that as his entire focus, everything else will fall into place for that player. And I don't think we're going to hear much criticism about his contract, because it will be recognized that this guy is night after night shutting down the top attackers on other teams, which he's fully capable of doing if he just reins it in a little bit.
David, great stuff. Thanks you for joining us here in Oilers Now.
Thanks, Bob. Great to talk to you.
You bet. It's David Staples from the Cult of Hockey and Provincial Affairs columnist for the Edmonton Journal. It is 1:46 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now. For 50 years at 149 in Edmonton, Royal Pizza has been Edmonton-owned and operated. Royal Pizza's pizza, pasta, and so much more. You can get their new boneless wings, 8 for $13.95 or 16 for $25.95. You can visit one of the 14 Edmonton area locations at royalpizza.ca. They got spots in Calgary and in Red Deer as well. And the Stauffer recommendation at Royal Pizza's the Mediterranean Chicken. All right, I'm going to go to a quick text. Randy says there's three reasons why the Oilers lost. Randy, I think you're onto something here with this first one. Round one took more energy out of the team, tougher series than Vegas had in round one. That's true. And the Oilers lost two overtime games in round number one to the LA Kings. Of course, they rallied down 2-1 and 3-0 in the first period of game number four to come back and tilt that series. The second reason Randy says the Oilers lost is secondary scoring and bottom six were not as good in round two as they were in round one. And the third reason, this is interesting, Randy says, the break between round one and round two in California seems to have affected them out of the gates in round two. Maybe they should have spent it at their Bakersfield facility. Less distractions from Randy. Brendan, this is what happens. When you lose, everything gets up for debate. And they played poorly in stretches of game number one. Leon Draisaitl shot the lights out, scored 4 goals. But the Oilers did not play well in game one of round two. And as a result, it gets questioned when you stay down in California instead of flying back to Edmonton and then flying back to Vegas. It kind of comes with it. That's what happens when you just like, you lose game five and game six, and if you're the head coach and you don't switch the starting goalie, and you pull a goalie in both games, you're going to get questioned. That comes with the territory. That's how it works.
It's fair. And you know what? We've got 10 hours worth of airtime each week to fill with that kind of question, that kind of query, right?
You know what? I mean, I understand why the team did what they did. I would have also understood a perspective note. You're flying back to Edmonton, and then you're flying back into Vegas. Those decisions are made above my pay grade. All right, we are going to go to this day in Oilers history for New West Travel, serving travelers since 1979. Book your vacation today at newwesttravel.com. The legendary Rod Phillips.
59 seconds to go. The puck to center. Huddy knocked it down to Hunter. 3-1 the Oilers lead. Gretzky now in on the right side. Tied up along the boards. And the puck chipped out across the line. Gretzky goes back to get it and lobs it in with 44 seconds to go. The Oilers on the verge of winning their third Stanley Cup championship in 4 years. 38 seconds to go and play has been whistled down. It is a madhouse here at Northlands in Edmonton. They are all standing. This is a dramatic and wonderful scene.
All right, a bit. bit of a buildup there. Glenn Anderson, Mark Messier, Yari Curry all beat Flyers goaltender Ron Hextall as the Oilers beat Philly 3-1. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in front of the Northlands crowd. Oilers firing 43 shots on Hextall to beat the Flyers for the second time in 3 years in the big dance.
All right, so I was in Clearwater, B.C. Glenn Dobson, who's a local business guy here in town, we were planting trees that year, and it was a hell of a night. That's all I'm going to tell you. It was a Sunday night. We watched it in the bar, bought some off sales, and had just finished up a contract and gone into town before moving camps out of Clearwater to head up. That's probably right around the time we went to Grand Prairie that year. So it's a good time. Good time. By the way, everybody in the bar back in 87 in Clearwater, they were cheering for the Flyers. They weren't cheering for the Oilers, which made it even sweeter. Now, tomorrow, we will tell you that one of our guests will be John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. Mooner will jump aboard for an hour as well. Jack Michaels and Reed Wilkins and Brendan Escott will also be part of tomorrow's show as we'll make our Stanley Cup final predictions. Mine are boring. I've already said the Edmonton Oilers are going to win that series in 5 games. What does Reed have coming up on Inside Sports tonight?
You will hear from the other half of the Edmonton Elks backfield along with Kevin Brown. It's going to be Shannon Brooks, who's had an excellent preseason for Edmonton, on the show along with renowned Edmonton boxer Jelena Mirjanovic.
There you go. All right, everybody, have a wonderful Wednesday. I'll be back at you Thursday on Oilers Now. Up next, Global News Weather Traffic Update with Randy Kilburn, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then Chelsea on Chet with Chelsea Bird from 3 to 6. So long, everybody.
Kevin Lowe's got it with 14 seconds remaining. He plays it off the boards to the Flyer line. McCrimmon jamming it for the Oilers line. Here is the countdown. 5. It rolls back to Hextall. 3, 2, 1. It's over. The Edmonton Oilers have won their third Stanley Cup championship. The Oilers defeat the Philadelphia Flyers.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.